Welcome to worship at Advent. Don't you love the sunshine?
Yeah.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers, and because in our weakness we can do nothing good without you, give us the help of your grace, that in keeping your commandments we may please you both in will and deed, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Please be seated.
There is a clear choice between good and evil, between life and death, between faithfulness and disobedience. This doesn't mean that the road to righteousness is easy. A reading from the book of Ecclesiasticus. Do not say, because of the Lord I left the right way, for he will not do what he hates. Do not say, it was he who led me astray, for he had no need of a sinful man. The Lord hates all abominations, and they are not loved by those who fear him. It was he who created man in the beginning, and he left him in the power of his own inclination. If you will, you can keep the commandments and to act faithfully as a matter of your own choice. He has placed before you fire and water. Stretch out your hand for whichever you wish. Before a man are life and death, and whichever he chooses will be given to him. For great is the wisdom of the Lord. He is mighty in power and sees everything. His eyes are on those who fear him, and he knows every deed of man. He has not commanded anyone to be ungodly, and he has not given anyone permission to sin. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm today is Psalm 119, found in your bulletin on page 4. We will read in unison. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By keeping to your words. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not stray from your commandments. I treasure your promise in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Instruct me in your statutes. With my lips will I recite all the judgments of your mouth. I have taken greater delight in the ways of your decrees than in all manners of riches. I will meditate on your commandments and give attention to your ways. My delight is in your statutes. I will not forget your word. The growth in spiritual stature with the Lord comes only through his abundant grace and never from any of our effort or impressive pedigree. A reading from the book of Corinthians. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord according to Matthew. I'm reading from chapter 5. This is from the Sermon on the Mount. Last week we heard in the sermon about the fact that we are the light of the world. And in this passage, Jesus teaches his disciples about the importance of the law and really our living above the law. He says three times, you've heard it said, but I say to you. So I start at verse 21. You've heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who's angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says you fool shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Stop for a second. Anyone, including me, convicted? We continue. Therefore, if you're presenting your offering at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Again, you've heard it said that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond that is evil. The Gospel of the Lord. So this morning I want to give you three concepts out of Jesus' teaching to his followers about the law, about our life. And the concept is that what I'm saying when Jesus spoke was for his disciples. There were some from the crowd there, but he was teaching his early followers. And the first thing that is so important is that the law is still valid. Now he was, of course, anticipating the end when he would go to the cross and make the payment that the sacrificial system paid for in centuries past, but now that he would ultimately fulfill. So the sacrificial system is over. There is no more need for slaughtering of animals and goats and turtle doves. But the law itself, the moral law, still remains because it's a reflection of God's character, which never changes. And when it was first given by Moses, they had this revelation of who God was, and in a simple way, the question was, God, how may we serve you? But because of the sin nature, that is received as negatives rather than positives. How may I serve you? Honor your parents. Not you shall honor your parents, but you may honor your parents. Just a very important thing to grasp. And with the idea of the law or God's word still in effect, think of it like this. After I had been at my first church for a couple of years, I enrolled in a doctoral program where I went to the seminary in Columbus once a week. And I would always look forward to it, to the class, to my independent study. And one week I was driving and came to the beginning of a little village where there was a speed limit sign that said 45, where I was going 55. Took my foot off the pedal a little bit too late, and a deputy sheriff pulled me over and said, by the way, are you aware that you were speeding? And I said, yes, I really was. I took my foot off the gas too late. And he said, I was behind you. I saw you do that, but you were still speeding. And so he asked me why I was in a hurry, and I told him. And I was shocked he didn't give me a ticket. And that is the only time in my life up until today that I've been stopped by the police. But here's the thing. I broke the law. I could not make that right. Even by, if I had gotten a ticket and paid it, I could not have undone what I did. He gave me, in effect, forgiveness. But I truly had violated the law. The law is still the law. It still has an impact on our lives. My goal from that point is not, and hear this, my goal was not to avoid ever being caught again. My goal was and is to agree with the law and seek to drive within the limits of the law, because that's pleasing to what's inside of me, and because it's the law that God honors, it's pleasing to him. Now, we started to have babies, and from my dad and with my brother and I, we played games with our parents virtually every night of the week when we were young. And when we have children, I started that with each of them. We played games, but one of the things that I did with them that they really loved is we changed the rules to make it more fun. When they got a little bit older, a favorite game was Monopoly. But we made the rules more engaging for us, simpler to play. And so as they grew up, the kids did the same thing, played with their kids. But here's the thing. There are elements in our society that want to make up their own rules, their own laws for how to live, whether it concerns my sexual behavior, my gender identity, whether it's right or wrong to kill a child that is in the mother's womb. I want to become my own God and decide what is best for me. In a much grander way, similar to when my kids were little and we made up our own rules for how to play. The thing is that God's rules or word or laws haven't changed. They can't change because he hasn't changed and he never will. So therefore, his law, as revealed in his word, is how we draw close to him. First from the outside and then from the inside. And for example, in our psalm reading for today, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By keeping to your words. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not stray from your commandments. I treasure your promise in my heart. It's not a matter of I don't break the speed limit. Jesus said in the scripture reading for today, the gospel, that if you even look at a woman with lust in your eyes, you have failed or come short of my law. So it's a matter of the heart, as the psalmist says, that I treasure your word in my heart. And if I treasure God's word in my heart, I will tend to demonstrate that by the way that I live externally. But the problem is, I broke the speed limit, and I can never undo that. So even though I desire from my heart to obey the law, I've broken the law. I've missed the mark that was set. When Jesus came, he came to fulfill God's original intention for the law and to do those things that we could never do. In Romans 8, 2 and 3, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. You and I are no longer under, as Christians, under the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. We could never atone for our failures. Jesus talked about if you ridicule your brother or grumble against him, you violated the commandment where it says you shall not murder because of what was in your heart. And so Jesus then came and fulfilled the requirements of the law and got those who follow him out from under the debt that we rightfully owe to God. So as Christians, the law is still valid. And from our heart, our desire is to live in a way on the externally that is pleasing to God and actually serves as a model to others. So first, the law is still valid. That's a really important thing. We will come to communion as we do most Sundays. And a part of what we confess is that, Lord, I have failed you in thought, word, and deed. But because of Christ, that which causes separation between God and us is dealt with, and we have access to him in wonderful ways. So the law is still valid. Number two, our lives as followers of Jesus under the law is that we are a model for others. The way that we live is a demonstration to others. I had mentioned playing games as a kid. When I started to think about why I like girls, I wanted to have children and be like my dad, who was always there, always playing with us on the floor and at tables after work most days of the week. And so I did that with my children. And my son, after he started to mature, said a couple times, "Dad, I want to be like you." "What do you mean?" "Well, you were always there. You played with us." And I had not done that intentionally after the children started to come, but I realized that I was doing what my dad had done. And so Chris, even to this day, even though a couple of his kids live far away from him because they have grown up, he regularly plays games with them over the internet through Xbox and talks to them about their day several times a week. It's a wonderful thing how we can model for others what it means to live a life that is pleasing to God. Yesterday I was at a dance recital for a couple of our granddaughters, and it was a wonderful day where you sat in a seat for about 10 hours. But in the first half of the day, there was a little girl in the aisle right close to where I was sitting, and she was maybe 3 or 4. Her older sister was in one of the dance companies, and she would dance to the music just like the kids on stage. She wanted to be like her big sister. She danced and moves, and she would say to her mom, "Mommy, watch this," and she would do what her big sister did. It was fun to watch. She has a model that she wants to attain to, and she is doing what her big sister did. So the law is still valid. Our lives are to be a model for others, and that's a part of what Jesus was teaching. You have heard the ancients say, which is from the days of Moses, but I say to you, there's even more that's required. It's the heart change. And that is this third thing, that as we're models for others, we cannot allow the culture to be our model. God's word has to be our model. Verse 20 says, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." That there's a holiness that's required. But think of it this way. This verse would have dropped like a bombshell in the days of Jesus' listeners, because for them, for Jews, the holiest people were the scribes and Pharisees. And Jesus is saying, your righteousness has to be greater than theirs. They were the Billy Grahams and Mother Teresas of our day. They were the people that you most admired for their walk with God. But Jesus is saying your righteousness has to exceed that. And that only could be possible for his followers who come to him and believed him to be the Son of God, who dealt with that barrier between God and man. Today the culture might say, whatever makes you happy, be comfortable with yourself, do the things that please you. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that the law has been done away with, the sacrificial system has been done away with, but God's character has never changed. He is still the same as he always was. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans 13, 8 through 10. This is through the Passion Translation. "Don't owe anything to anyone except your outstanding debt to continually love one another. For the one who learns to love has fulfilled every requirement of the law. For the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and every other commandment can be summed up in these words. Paul says, love and value others the same way that you love and value yourself. Love makes it impossible to harm another, so love fulfills all that the law requires. This is above the law. This is not simply behavior. This is a heart change that takes me to that place where I'm in communion with the Lord and can be not just living above the law, but living as a model for others and living not according to what society currently says, but what God's eternal word has always said. So I encourage you today to reflect upon that. The Christian faith is about what's been done for us. But because of that, it also gives us grace and power by God's presence to live a life that is a model for others, that seeks not to follow the model of culture, but seeks to live in a way that says there really is a countercultural movement today. It's the body of Christ living in the midst of a very dark age. And we're a part of that countercultural movement and model. Let's continue our worship as we stand and share together our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
This morning's prayers of the people are Form 4, found on page 6 of your bulletin. Let us pray for the church and for the whole world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory to the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence to the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. And we especially ask you to remember to lift up daily those on our prayer list listed in the bulletin and for those on the intercessory prayer list. Give them courage and hope in their troubles and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled,
And we pray that we may ever share with all of your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As we pray together, hear our prayer, O Father in heaven. We pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement that you have provided us in this season. We're grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open to us what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be with you. Now let's share that.
If Dick McCormick was here, he'd tell you to get back in your seats. Go to those pews. We have a few announcements. Peter? Peter, you're up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to thank all those that came last night for the spaghetti dinner. I think we all had a good time. And I would like to personally thank John Crothall for cooking the spaghetti and for the Evans family for providing the meatballs and the sauce and the bread and all the other good things that we had for the dinner. So thank you, one and all. And as you work off last night's dinner, you can look forward to Shrove Tuesday, the 25th, for pancakes and sausages. So hopefully we'll see you then. Thank you.
Very good. Marcia, you wanted to say something?
As you see, Jack Morgan's name continues to be on the prayer chain list. He is having his 8th eye surgery on Wednesday, so if you could just hold him up in prayer, much appreciated. Thank you.
Wow. Brother Bruce.
Good morning.
Morning.
Happy Valentine's Day, 2 days after. You're welcome. A couple weeks ago, Brother Ray presented to me a very lovely lap blanket. It was very timely because I was in the middle of 5 weeks of a head cold and sore throat, so as I sat in my easy chair watching TV, that lap blanket was nice and cozy. So then I kept asking Brother Ray, well, it looks like it's been handmade because it's very lovely.
I do not crochet.
So, Ray, who made that so I could at least thank that person? Well, Ray says, the person's anonymous. Okay, what's the last name? So then I threatened him to let all the air out of his Harley Davidson motorcycle tires. And he still wouldn't tell me. So therefore, since I can't thank Ms. Anonymous directly, and this is Valentine's weekend, I decided to give a flower to all the ladies in case Ms. Anonymous is here today. Now, for those that remember, there was an old TV show many years ago, Jimmy Durante. He concluded every show with, "Good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are." I conclude today with, "Thank you, Ms. Anonymous, whoever you are."
Thank you. How do you know there isn't a Mr. Anonymous?
Yes, sir.
To any anonymouses that have ordered altar flowers, the Altar Guild would ask that you pay up, get that down, and I think that's it. Any other announcements? We're good to go. Peace of the Lord be with you.
I'm probably not old enough to remember Jimmy Durante, but in some vague way, I very clearly recall it. So as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, let's present our offerings to the Lord. Thank you, Dar and Bruce, for that beautiful offertory. We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, thou hast caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of thy glory in the face of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup, and he gave it to them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Please join with me in the prayer that our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God are given for the people of God. Come in faith and receive. Have a bunch of several people who are here this morning who need God to intervene in their lives physically, and we have several more on our prayer list. Please remember to pray for them. We believe that God still heals and still restores. Let's ask him specifically. Please join with me in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guard and keep you until life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Live like an all-star this week as you go in peace to serve the Lord.